You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. My name is Alexander Alfano. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. It is an honor for me to address you on the Religious Liberty Report. The Church. The Church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. We are called to contend for the faith. The Religious Liberty Report, hoping to help equip you with tools to take your faith to the culture, to better understand and articulate our Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, yet bold, uncompromising, and committed to God's Word as our guide. The Religious Liberty Report, on the air, working to keep America open to God's truth. Because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Our radio broadcast is intended to help equip churches and believers on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture too often disagreeing with our message. Turning to page one of the report in this first week of February, 2025. This past week, the National Prayer Breakfast, a yearly event held in Washington, D.C., usually on the first Thursday in February. President Trump, preaching unity at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington this week, taking a moment to speak on bipartisan unity, cooperation, collaboration in Washington. At the National Prayer Breakfast, President Trump also recounted the story of his near assassination in Butler, Pennsylvania last July. Commenting on the miraculous details, the chart of immigration statistics that he turned his head to look at as the second bullet tore across the sky. How he happened to be pointing at it during a different part of his programming than he usually does. President Donald Trump at the National Prayer Breakfast, testifying on how God exists, how God saved him and left him a changed man. President Trump saying, quote, honestly, it changed something in me. After he left the Capitol, he spoke to a packed ballroom at the Washington Hilton, where the actual breakfast was being held. Again, he reflected on the attempt on his life and said, quote, it was God that saved me. He went on to say, as the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. And in that end, I hope my greatest legacy, when it's all finished, will be known as a peacemaker and a unifier. I hope that's going to be true. President Donald Trump, commenting on peacemaking at the National Prayer Breakfast this past week in Washington, D.C. President Donald Trump also announced plans at the prayer breakfast to establish a task force, a presidential commission, to protect Christians from religious discrimination. He laid out multiple steps that he planned to take to address what he described as attacks on religious liberty and on Christians in particular. President Trump said, quote, while I'm in the White House, we will protect Christians in our schools, in our military, in our government, in our workplaces, hospitals, and in our public squares. The president went on to say, and we will bring our country back together as one nation under God. President Trump said he would establish a presidential commission on religious liberty that will work tirelessly to uphold this most fundamental right. The president signed an order, an executive order, making Attorney General Pam Bondi, the head of this task force, intended to, quote, eradicate anti-Christian bias. A task force aiming to stop all forms of anti-Christian targeting and discrimination within the federal government, according to President Donald Trump. A new Presidential Commission on Religious Liberty. President Donald Trump calling it a, quote, a very big deal. Turning to page 2 of the report, President Donald Trump signing an executive order to protect young women and girls in sports. President Donald Trump's executive order preserves women's sports and locker rooms as female-only spaces. The executive order will no longer have the federal government supporting males, taking away women and girls' hard-earned opportunities to compete and win. The federal government will no longer be able to promote males entering girls' private spaces like locker rooms, making girls endure discomfort and for some even harassment. Heartening news, a welcome step towards restoring sanity, truth to our nation, and telling our female athletes that their leaders are on their side. The battle is far from won, however. We need permanent change so that the next administration cannot undo this progress, and so states and activists can't undermine the president's order and the will of the American people. For this reason, we need Congress to pass an act, a law, a nationwide law protecting women and girls in sports. And also we need the courts to weigh in on the matter. The executive order entitled Keeping Men Out of Women's Sports is legally important, but also vital for the long overdue message it sends to women and girls that your rights matter. President Donald Trump telling our daughters the truth that men and women are physically different and that those differences matter, and women deserve their own sports and their own spaces. Now, female athletes across the United States have the U.S. government on their side. Turning the page on the report, a related piece here, that the NCAA, women's college basketball, following Trump's order and excluding transgender athletes from women's sports. The decision, effective immediately, came a day after President Donald Trump signed the order barring transgender athletes from competing in women's sports, specifically at federally funded educational institutions. The NCAA went on to say that we strongly believe that clear, consistent, and uniform eligibility standards would best serve today's student athletes, instead of a patchwork of conflicting state laws and court decisions. Charlie Baker, president of the NCAA. Turning the page on the report, President Trump ending racial indoctrination in K-12 schools. In the last week of January 2025, President Donald Trump signing two executive orders directing federal agencies to end, quote, radical anti-American ideologies in schools that receive federal funding, and also ordered them to expand school choice freedom for parents. President Trump's executive order entitled Ending Radical Indoctrination in K-12 Schooling is a sweeping move to help fulfill his campaign promise to, quote, save American education. The order bars federal funding for public schools that teach discriminatory equity ideology that the administration is defining as an ideology that treats individuals as members of preferred or disfavored groups rather than as individuals, and minimizes agency, merit, and capability in favor of immoral generalizations. President Donald Trump's executive order designed to restore critical thinking and root out divisive topics like critical race theory and gender ideology from our public schools. Liberty Council founder and chairman Matt Staver said, "President Donald Trump's executive orders recognize the corrosive ideologies that have no place in schools, and that parents have the right to direct the education of their children. This is another major and welcomed policy shift that reorients the nation back to protecting and properly nurturing its young generation." Liberty Council founder and chairman Matt Staver, commenting on President Donald Trump's executive orders in K-12 public schools. On the litigation front, the Supreme Court of the United States agrees to hear the case Oklahoma Statewide Virtual Charter School Board versus Drummond, a case addressing parent school choice, alleging that parents and children are better off with more choices, not fewer. An important case coming before the U.S. Supreme Court regarding religious liberty and parental rights in education. The Oklahoma Attorney General filing a lawsuit against St. Isidore of Seville Catholic Virtual School after it was approved as a statewide charter school. The Oklahoma Supreme Court ruled in favor of the school board, allowing the cancellation of the contract with this Catholic school. We know that the Supreme Court of the United States has repeatedly ruled that religion does not disqualify educational institutions from receiving public benefits. Here we have the Supreme Court with an opportunity to do that once again, in the case of Oklahoma Statewide Charter School Board versus Drummond. But this case is not just about a Catholic school in Oklahoma. It's about standing against discrimination toward people of faith. Winning this case at the Supreme Court will impact every American, because if the court agrees that this Catholic school in Oklahoma deserves to be treated just like its secular counterparts, it will open the door for faith-based charter schools across the country. You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report in this first week of February, 2025. The next item is Trump's Gaza deal. President Donald Trump, speaking beside Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, this past week announcing that the United States has a plan for Gaza, an after-action plan. Having spoken on Greenland, Canada, the Panama Canal, Trump now turning to Gaza, making an offer to help Gaza rebuild. Israel's defense minister, Israel Katz, said, "I welcome the bold initiative of U.S. President Trump, which could allow a large portion of Gaza's population to relocate to various destinations worldwide." On Thursday, President Trump wrote on Truth Social, his social media site, quote, "The Gaza Strip would be turned over to the United States by Israel at the conclusion of fighting, after Palestinians had already been resettled in far safer and more beautiful communities, with new and modern homes in the region." The idea floating that Gaza could be rebuilt, some saying already that Trump's plan is unworkable, others saying he deserves credit for recognizing that the status quo is untenable, unsustainable. Trump picking up on a real problem: how to reconstruct Gaza. The president's proposal to, quote, own Gaza and transfer its population elsewhere has stirred condemnation, sarcasm. But others are saying it's an opening bid that could disrupt, bring new life, revitalize a tired diplomatic paradigm. President Donald Trump declaring that the United States would help rebuild Gaza, help move out the Palestinians so that a Riviera of the Middle East can be built. As unrealistic, even bizarre, as this may seem, Mr. Trump was pointing to a serious challenge: the future of Gaza, making Gaza secure, peaceful, even prosperous. A former French ambassador to the United States is quoted as saying Trump's proposal for Gaza is met with disbelief, opposition, and sarcasm. But as Trump often does in his brutal and clumsy way, he raises a real question. What do we do when 2 million civilians find themselves in a field of ruins full of explosives and full of corpses? Another security advisor commented that as outlandish, as unworkable as President Trump's proposal may seem, it is no less historic. A historic resetting of decades of received diplomatic wisdom. However unrealistic, he went on to say, it may force the sides to reconsider long-held positions, stir things up dramatically, and lead to new openings. What President Trump described simply won't happen, said Professor Lawrence Friedman, professor of war studies at King's College London. He goes on to say that Trump picks up on a real problem. How to reconstruct Gaza. Keeping the peace to allow reconstruction and settlement in Gaza. Many worry that this involved thousands of American troops for an indefinite amount of time. The next day, Trump officials, White House officials, saying that any population transfer would only be temporary. But Hamas has made it clear that it is going nowhere. And presumably, Hamas would fight American troops as it has fought Israeli ones. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, talking about the rebuilding of Gaza when the fighting stops, which hopefully will be soon. One Israeli analyst of Palestinian affairs said that in discussions with Jordan, Egypt, and Gulf Arab and Palestinian colleagues, no one wants to even discuss this deal, because there is no readiness of Hamas to evacuate Gaza. And, very importantly, no Arab country or leaders willing to accept the Palestinians. Even if nothing comes of President Trump's proposal, it would seem that floating it now in the way that he did is already upsetting the status quo in the Middle East. The countries of Jordan and Egypt, two crucial allies of the United States in the Middle East with the longest history of diplomatic relations with Israel, have already been affected, some say. Jordan already is more than half ethnic Palestinian, and for King Abdullah, who will meet with President Trump next week to accept more Palestinian refugees, would possibly undermine the kingdom and be the end of King Abdullah. Egypt, on the other hand, has more space and continues to receive large amounts of American financial aid. But its president, Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, has always been a fierce opponent of Islamist radicalism. In Egypt, Islamic radicals have been brutally stamped out. For these and other reasons, it seems that this proposal can be dead on arrival. Hamas, no intention of giving up its control or its aims, let alone disarming. Hamas expressed a willingness to create a, quote, administrative committee to rule Gaza with other parties, including Arab countries and the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. This expands on an Egyptian initiative. But such a committee is thought to be only a cosmetic cover that would allow Hamas to retain control of security while reducing its responsibility for civilian governance. In all of this, President Trump has been silent on the future of an independent Palestinian state, which could become a crucial demand of countries such as Saudi Arabia. In fact, the Saudis were quick to oppose President Trump's plan in a statement. A former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for the Middle East during the first Trump term said that it's a starting point, a starting position, it's a negotiation. It's the Middle East. She commented that Mr. Trump's success in helping forge the 2020 Abraham Accords, which were bilateral agreements normalizing relations between Israel and several Gulf states, that the 2020 Abraham Accords hinged on setting aside the custom traditional paradigms and recognizing that they were broken. President Trump trying to reset the conversation in the Middle East. Still, there remains enormous skepticism in the region about Washington's ability to build a state in the Middle East, especially after American failures in Iraq, Afghanistan. And the president's proposal is also overshadowed by a very real and present problem in Gaza. Whether Israel and Hamas will succeed in moving past the first phase of the current ceasefire agreement to the second phase, a much tougher phase, which would involve Israeli concessions that the Israelis have so far been unwilling to make. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, talking about Gaza, the rebuilding of Gaza when the fighting stops, the proposal put forth by President Donald Trump this past week as he stood alongside Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. President Trump announcing a plan for the day after in the Gaza Strip. Many going insane over the president's comments. But others saying that what we have to understand is that the conventional wisdom that we've held for decades has led to a full-scale disaster in Gaza, in the Middle East. It has led to an intractable multi-decade problem of radicalized populations that support terrorism rather than a regime that would allow for peace, prosperity, and a livable life. Hamas was elected by the Palestinian people. Today, by polling data of the Palestinians in Gaza, still many, a majority, some would say, support Hamas, even after the complete destruction of the Gaza Strip. And even after Hamas killing 1,200 Israelis on October 7th, 2023, and taking more than 250 into captivity, where many were murdered, abused, and many of them are still being abused, including American citizens. Some argue that the conventional wisdom has been wrong. And this is where President Trump is presenting a different way of thinking. President Trump thinking outside the box. When you look back on President Trump's first term, a stunning example of thinking outside the box were the Abraham Accords. Everyone said he was not going to be able to get that deal done in the Middle East. Instead, he ended up with the first true Arab-Israeli peace deal in modern history. Some say that if Donald Trump had been re-elected in 2020, he was just weeks away from brokering a Saudi-Israeli Abraham Accord. The argument is that conventional wisdom has not resolved what is an intractable problem of a deeply radicalized population that wants to completely destroy the state of Israel. It is argued that the Palestinians don't really want a two-state solution, living side by side in peace and prosperity. Further discrediting the two-state solution are other Arab countries that have really not shown historically that it is a priority. When Egypt was in control of the Gaza Strip from 1947 to 1967, Was there an independent Palestinian state? No. When Jordan was in control of Judea and Samaria from 1948 to 1967, was there an independent Palestinian state? Again, no. Could there today possibly be an independent Palestinian state, let's say in Jordan? The Hashemite dynasty says no. Despite the fact that a vast majority of Jordan's population is actually Palestinian. It would seem that surrounding Middle Eastern states are uninterested in a Palestinian state. Scholars argue that the big reason that so many Arab countries, Muslim countries in the region, don't want to take in Palestinian refugees is because they are afraid that it will destabilize their own countries. Such as it did in Jordan when the PLO was located there in the early 1970s. Lebanon, again, was overrun by the PLO and today is suffering the consequences still. And in the aftermath of the Gulf War, Kuwait expelled tens of thousands of Palestinians who had sided with Saddam Hussein. Undoubtedly, what is happening in the Gaza Strip is a tremendous challenge for the world, for humanity. We have Donald Trump supposedly, allegedly thinking outside the box, trying to address intractable problems that have plagued the Middle East for decades, if not centuries. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting, in the first week of February 2025. And now, a message from our friends at South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. Whether you're looking to lead in business, counsel with compassion, run a church, or enrich your spiritual life, their new programs are designed for you. With their master's in business administration, a master's in mental health counseling, or a doctor's degree in ministry, you can aim high with a degree from South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, offering undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral degrees. Degree programs available online or on campus in Deerfield Beach, Florida. With over 20 total programs on campus and online, explore their diverse range of programs in ministry, theology, business, counseling, from associate to doctoral levels. Available both online and on campus in Deerfield Beach, Florida, as one of the top 10 most affordable Bible colleges in the United States, South Florida Bible College provides quality education at an affordable price. And with scholarship opportunities just a click away, let nothing stop you from pursuing your dreams at South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. Fully accredited and ready to serve you, visit them online at sfbc.edu. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of his apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report as we reviewed this week's Religious Liberty News. We read in Jude, verse 3, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once and for all delivered to the saints." Jude, verse 3. Alexander Alfano signing off on the Religious Liberty Report. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches.